Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Mickey Usups, and this is Wayne Pike Now, a weekly public affairs program about the people, places, and issues that shape our community. I'm very excited this morning. I have with me Jim Zamponi, who is the founder of the Zipper Junction Project. Don't let the name fool you. This is a really, really exciting thing that's going on. And Jim, you are a local businessman.
Correct.
And you make zippers.
Oh, yeah.
And right in Lakeville.
My day job is Supreme Zipper. And yes, we actually make zippers there.
We were joking before we went on the air because people are like, what do you make? You are working with a lot of other people in the community on what I think is a really exciting project. I'm going to call it a community development project. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in several different ways. The development of a community as well as developing our community. Let's first start out with how this unique organization and project grew out of.
Well, it grew out of some personal issues I saw that I was having, in that my passion for creativity was a little bit squashed after I got my zipper company up and running after a decline. And then the local area, seeing a lot of the, I'll call it malaise, things that have come over us, the lack of economic development, a lot of things that point to kids not having a lot of opportunity, not finding themselves early enough to pursue those things. And then when they do, they all go to college and leave and don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the area can't sustain like that. It just simply will. It is dying, unfortunately.
Right.
This project wasn't started as an economic development project. It was started as a find your passion and teach you how to monetize it project.
Right.
When in fact it became an economic driver later. That's something that happened after the fact.
Organically came out of the discussions.
Correct.
And you're working with a pretty large group of people that involve a lot of different disciplines and
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little idea of the character of the, or not, and I mean sort of the complexion of that group of individuals?
That this group runs the gamut from 40-year veterans in the welding industry to doctors and lawyers and audiologists and food experts, nutritionists, folks that are in the hair and makeup industry.
Mm-hmm.
We have folks, oh my gosh, from open source software. Well, that's kind of important to us because the entire facility, the programs, are all what we call a physical representation of open source, meaning politics talk, transparency.
Right.
We want everybody to see what's going on.
Right.
That's very important to us. So the cross-section of people is pretty crazy, and we're not done yet. We need a lot more folks.
Right, and that they're kind of forming a sort of a central hub to develop the Zipper Junction, which is the physical site. The Zipper Junction Project is really kind of that group and the work that you're doing.
Right.
And this is a really difficult project to pigeonhole or describe. When we started, you said it's kind of like a community center for all of Northeast Pennsylvania.
Correct.
And, you know, we think of community centers and we think bingo and senior centers. And you know what I mean? This is not like that. This is...
No, I'll leave that to the fire halls and all the other
organizations.
Right.
This is a different kind of concept, and it has a very educational and entrepreneurial element to it.
Absolutely.
That's why I like to call it a community development model
that.
And community, like, sounds like it's as much to develop a community space where all of these different kinds of things can go on as much as it is to build up our community.
That's correct. It does both.
And help everybody out. It is a physical thing, and it is also sort of a educational training program sort of thing at the same time. Let's talk first about the training sort of educational entrepreneurial side of things, and then we'll get into that physical space.
Well, that's a great place to start because that was really how it started.
Right.
It started with the local push to try to build a career and tech center up here.
Mm-hmm.
We're two of three counties, being Pike and Wayne, that don't have one in the entire state, and many good folks have been trying a really long time
trying to build one.
And they hit different types of obstacles that are beyond a lot of our control, and I'm paralleling them. I'm not going to lie. We're paralleling what they're doing, and hopefully if we get there and make something unique, we can kind of combine forces at some point. Really what it's called is a career and tech center, where folks can learn mostly 9, 10, 11th, and 12th graders, but there's also retraining for adults maybe that are out of work, workforce development type stuff for the trades. Everything from, you know, welding and building trades to automotive and much more high tech. They're thinking high tech in terms of 3D printing, additive manufacturing, innovative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at the core of this place are what we like to affectionately call the shops.
Right.
Not shops, retail shops, like a mall, shops where we actually make stuff.
Right.
And transfer that knowledge from even older folks that have this knowledge who are a dying breed.
Mm-hmm.
One of my real big goals here is to join those, the old and the young, because yeah. I believe that they don't talk to each other enough.
And that's where the strength is. That's where our community strength
is. That's correct. And I have a firsthand knowledge of that from the primary business, where the older folks have that work ethic and that skill. We need to get that before we lose it completely.
Right.
So the shops really were the core. I had originally tried a business plan where that was all it was.
Right.
And it was very hard to justify sustaining it monetarily.
Yeah.
And then my theories about adding sports and arts, which I didn't realize the educators had already had an acronym for that called STEAM.
Yes.
They added the arts in the middle of STEM education, mm-hmm. which wasn't revolutionary. I didn't reinvent the wheel.
Right.
I just decided it was important. Yes. Because I have, for instance, a few nieces that are fantastic classical music players in the high school level, but I see the carryover to their academics. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing would work with the shops. We created a cross-pollination effect between sports and fitness, theater, arts, music production, all those things, and the shops, and how they could actually work together in somewhat of a community sense.
Right. A microcosm.
A little microcosm of what could be.
Right.
You know, folks always talk about what if and what could be, and we're taking it a step further, and we're actually going to try to make it happen. So that's really what it is.
I will admit it is an ambitious project, but, you know, setting the bar too low, you don't know what you can achieve. And this really just takes everything to its sort of maximum state and says that's the goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than saying, okay, I think maybe we can pull this off. You were talking before we got started here, as much for my edification as anything, about scale and how you wound up scaling it up in order to find sort of a critical mass where it would become sort of self-sustaining.
That's correct. As far as a business person goes, we look at things and say, well, we'll start small, and then you figure out how to scale over time, reinvesting your profits to grow your business. And the truth is, some of the more established businesses around here looked at me and said, that's what you should be doing. When in fact, mostly because of their personal experience. Everyone comes from someplace,
sure.
and their personal experience dictated that. I had to get out of that frame of mind when we started designing this and said, wait a minute, how can we make something that operates the way we envision it from the get-go? In other words, when Walt Disney, bless his soul, opened up Disney World in Florida, he didn't open up one little place with an ice cream stand. He opened
right.
a place that could embrace 50,000 people
right.
on day one,
right.
simply because it wouldn't have functioned any other way.
Right.
Now, did he grow from that? Of course they did.
And people thought he was crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, the only reason he built the one in Florida was because he didn't build the one in California big enough. So when we looked at scale, it became very quickly apparent that you needed to go big.
Yeah.
You needed all these parts from day one, and we needed to make it of a scale where it showed up on a map, where
right.
folks wanted to come there just to see this thing. And once they get there, hopefully, the passion element
right.
came down. Then they would see what it's really all about. But, you know, when you build something of scale or unique in its own right, it attracts an audience. And
absolutely.
We needed to really do that. Yeah. And luckily, we're really close to a lot of people.
We are.
They don't even need to get on a plane.
Yeah.
So, you know, we even have that bar that's lower for us, which isn't being leveraged enough.
Right. I have great hopes for this. I'm very excited about this project because we have so much talent in this area. It taps into that. It also provides sort of that element of inspiration for the young people in the community.
That's it.
You know, and encourage them to find a way to make their own way and maybe be able to make it here.
That's correct.
So many of our best and brightest move off.
That's right.
You know, and we all know they're going to go away to college, but we want them to come back or maybe not have to go at all.
I've often said that I'm not being selfish in that I don't want them to leave, but I want them to have the choice to stay.
Right.
If they choose.
Or to get the training that they need or experiences elsewhere and then bring that experience and those talents home again.
100%. You know, I've been asked, why are we putting it here? And I have a very simple answer. Why not?
Why not?
Why aren't the people of Pike and Wayne good enough to have a place like this here?
Right.
It's just that simple.
Now we're going to get into some more about the different elements of Zipper Junction. Now, it's a physical place that we're going to get into in a couple of minutes. Learning and education. Let's talk a little bit about what the vision is for that part.
We were not teaching academics.
Right.
We're teaching more hands-on or alternative type education.
Right.
Where you have project-based learning. Some folks think Montessori school type mm-hmm. learning. Which is a good key into this, although that wasn't in the original plan.
Right.
It's something that developed along the way when somebody
sure.
brought another good idea to me. But it's definitely everything other than academia. It's all the hands-on stuff. And the truth is, it's very personal to me because I have two sons. One of them is an academic and one of them is a wrench guy.
Yeah, tinker.
Yeah, so it's very clear to me that, you know, there is a need for all this. And when you talk to more and more folks, you hear it over and over and over again. Right. So from an educational standpoint, it's definitely a hands-on type educational element.
And then we have the fitness and sports.
Well, like anything else, we have to take care of ourselves, mind, body, and soul. I'm not the most athletic person, if anybody knows me, knows. My wife, however, is, and is very important in our family. I'm a kind of a big guy, and I'd be larger if it wasn't for her. Right. But I do believe it's extremely important.
This would be providing space for...
Oh, for a multitude of sports.
Right.
Correct. When you have sporting activities, especially with teams, that carries over into everything else we do, where they work together for a common goal.
Sure.
So the sports is kind of a duality between taking care of themselves and working with everyone else and cooperation.
Theater and arts.
Very important. Between music, stage theater, the arts of painting and sculpting and crafting. These are things a lot of people suppress to get, quote, a real job. When in fact, in this world we live in today, it is becoming much easier for someone to actually make a living at these things.
Right.
The internet, crowdfunding, 3D printing. It's amazing if you can just trigger that in someone and give them a little support in how to monetize it, besides being extremely important in education.
And your personal development.
Correct. It teaches you structure and learning and discipline. And it's really cool to have people know how to play stuff and build stuff that's artistically based.
And what I love is that all these things spill out of the Zipper Junction into the broader community. Whatever might be going on there, that teenager who's inspired, no matter what element of this it is, it's capturing that and giving them the support and the encouragement and also helping them find the information to make it work for them.
That's right.
Now, citizenry and cooperation. Let's talk about that.
Have you ever tried to talk to a teenager lately?
I have a 15-year-old niece, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm a little bit old school that way.
Right.
I actually have stopped conversations, said my eyes are here, please look at them.
Yeah.
And some folks say that's, yes, the phones. Mm-hmm. And I have one, and I use it a lot also. Mm-hmm. But when you are speaking to someone, just like we are now, we're looking at each other. And a little bit of that goes a long way.
Right.
Please, thank you, shake your hand. And some folks are just, they're afraid to talk about these things anymore. No, it's called civil society, and help the lady across the street or the man if he needs it.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with reminding them of that. I've had too many instances where we had kids work with us and the parents were like, well, were they okay? You know, did they? I said, of course they functioned properly because I expected it of them.
Right.
And they stepped up. It's not a problem. We can't get them to clean their room. No, that's really...
That's
a bigger
thing.
Problem, you know? They'll do it if you set the stage correctly. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's easy. You know, people are working 2 and 3 jobs.
And it's a constant power.
It is. It is a power thing. And they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. And people are having a hard time now. You know, when you're exhausted from 2 or 3 jobs.
Or the commute or whatever.
I understand that as well.
Right.
So, you know, if we can put a little bit of that back into our society, I think it would go a long way.
Sure. I think about, you know, phone etiquette and just technology etiquette.
Yes.
You know, there is no Emily Post on how to be on your phone, but I think we need to be looking at that as a community.
Correct.
What is acceptable to us?
Mm-hmm.
So these are important conversations.
That's that whole citizenry cooperation thing.
Absolutely.
We can't be afraid to talk about those things.
Yeah, and I love the idea that that's part of this.
It's a major piece.
Yeah.
You know, it goes on in little spaces now.
Yeah.
You know, my son is in the mechanical tech program at Wall & Paulpak.
Right.
And Doc Watson, God bless him, he doesn't put up with anything. Mm-hmm. His football players or his auto shop. And why can't we just duplicate that everywhere?
Set the standard
it. And the kids will step up. They do time and time again.
When we look at the sketch map that you brought along, this is a sizable complex. And you guys have been looking at where this might go in Lake Region.
We've been trying to keep it within a fairly close proximity to the dam on the lake, which is obviously most folks know borders Pike and Wayne County. We've always thought of Pike and Wayne as our main focus as far as our local community, which is bigger than a lot of folks think of their local community.
Sure, we're 100,000 people between the two counties.
That's right. But we've reached out all the way to Milford and Southern Pike and the farmers of Northern Wayne, and I want them to know that we're thinking about them.
Oh, yeah.
That's really my focus of putting this place within about 10 miles of that, albeit we've given a lot of consideration to highway access and roadways, and it can't be in the middle of nowhere, quite simply, because of the scale and the numbers of folks that we hope someday to be attending this place.
Right. How large a complex are you talking
Several
about?
Million square feet.
Wow. Millions. He said several millions square feet. But that would encompass these fields. We talked about athletic fields, welding shops, and a place to put on theater productions. And it's kind of like you take all of the different that you might find all over, scattered all over a town, you know, the playing field over here, the theater over there, putting it kind of all in one place. And that becomes, like we talked about, the magnet that draws people to see what are they doing there.
That's right. The idea here was to put something, a big giant stake in the ground in the middle of 55 million people and say, come take a look at what we're doing here. Yeah. It might help you. We intentionally scaled it that way, size of the building and the size of the audience. We wanted to encompass all the way to the end of Long Island within that 200 miles. And we did that very purposefully when we did market research about how many school districts we could reach out to. And that became very important. As far as the physicality of what we envisioned the structure to be like, well, there's everything from, like you said, baseball fields and football fields and multiples of everything to the shops, which encompass a little over 500,000 square feet, which is very similar in scale to one that's only about 90 minutes from us, LCTI, which is a very large career and tech center. So that scale isn't ridiculous when you look at it that way.
It's just paired up with these other large scale pieces.
We didn't recreate the wheel here. The only thing unique we did is put them all in one place and create a cross-pollination effect. A lot of these things are done a la carte. You will find big sports complexes and big theater complexes, but never done with the thought of running 24/7, 365, and they help each other.
Just off the top of my head, talking about that cross-pollination, and you know, I'm thinking you've got a kid likes to write to play. They put on the play. They have the stage there. The kids, you know, other actors, kids to act, to direct. Then some of the other kids from the music program put together some music to go along with it. Then the kids in the shop help make the scenery. And the kids in the computer lab are making the flyers and helping with...
Correct. A lot of folks have said, you know...
Collaboration.
Yes. And this happens on a certain scale in the high schools already.
Absolutely.
It does. And I commend them for doing some of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But there again, it's still a municipal organization that has budgetary constraints and a lot of issues when they need something made outside. Does it need to go up for bid? And we understand all that. This would eliminate a lot of those barriers.
Right.
We don't want the barriers.
It should be as easy as saying, hey, could you weld me up something to hold this
Absolutely.
For my show?
That's it. Where this whole thing is more like a living thing, where it feels and reacts. And it's really an example of what if. What if we ran our municipalities this way?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome? If we have the data, why couldn't we? So what came out of putting all these pieces together, which were actually separate buildings in the beginning, what we call an outside-in town. I don't know if you noticed that anywhere.
Yeah.
But the building got so large. You know, when a building gets so large, it doesn't function as a building anymore.
Right.
It takes too long to go to the lunchroom or the bathroom, where you start thinking what they do in like airports, where they have electric vehicles to run you around. And we started to scale that into this. It's like a combination of a mall and an airport and an amusement park, and it's elements of each of those.
Right.
The best of all, with profit not being in the picture. We want to make a break-even scenario within this place.
Right.
But really, money's not the main issue here. Our profit is all those people that
and
we
Zipper
hope to come
And the Zipper Junction Project is a tax-exempt organization.
We are a Pennsylvania nonprofit corporation, which is the first step.
Right.
With the 501c3 filed, we haven't gotten it back yet, no reason that we shouldn't get it back. It does take about a year.
Right.
But it is legitimately a Pennsylvania nonprofit corporation.
Okay.
And hopefully by the time any fundraising was done, it would be all tax-deductible.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We haven't done that at all at this point, purposefully, which is maybe a good way to talk about our meeting that's coming up.
Yes, and that's the next thing, because really there's been so much planning and so much going on, I wouldn't even say behind the scenes, just as a prequel to being able to really present the idea, a vibrant, vigorous idea to the public. And you're at that point now, so you've got a meeting scheduled. Talk about the meeting.
We coined it a town hall
type
meeting. It makes folks understand that there'll be some type of presentation within a big opportunity for questions and answers, because in the ether, people are creating their own realism of what this is, when in fact, some of it's very correct and some of it is plain wrong.
Right.
So the best way is to be open and accessible. So we decided to have this meeting where we have about a 30-minute audiovisual presentation, much like a movie, highly produced movie. I'll give a little bit about who I am, because a lot of folks, even though I've been up here for almost 30 years, don't know who I am. Mm. And that's understandable. I've been making zippers quietly. And then we're going to open it up to about an hour and a half of questions and answers. And this is on Wednesday the 22nd.
Of April.
At 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. And it's at the Wallenpaupack High School Auditorium, the main auditorium in the high school. And understand, we've put this everywhere, the school is not endorsing us in any way. We're just using their facility. I'll be there. Several of the board members will be there. A few of our experts are going to try to make it because some come from far away. And it's going to be really great. I hope that a lot of folks show up and ask questions, really.
I certainly do too, because like I said, this is really, really exciting, ambitious, but you know, my father has a saying, if you're going to wish, wish for it all. And this really does. I mean, it looks at it and says, what if we could do everything we wanted exactly the way we want? Then that's our plan.
That's it.
And you go from there.
You've got it.
Now, if you want to learn a little bit more, they do have a YouTube channel. You can check that out at the Zipper Junction Project. They're on Facebook, and they're also a website, zipperjunction.org. If you have any specific questions before that, you can always email info@zipperjunction.org. Well, Jim, we are certainly at the end of our time. This is really exciting. I hope you will come back and keep us really up to date on this, because I know you'll probably need us to get more information out to people.
I do thank you and Vince for helping us out with this. It's a great pleasure.
And very exciting. I was very, very grateful you were able to make it in.
Thank you so much, Mickey.
Thank you. And I thank all of you for tuning in. Drop by again next week and we'll talk some more.